啊。
Let's freaking go! Cam Mulkey clinches a huge double bye, and LSU, one of the best comebacks of the Mulkey era. This has been a thing for LSU this year, not coming through in the second half versus really good ranked teams on the road. And guess what they do? Guess what they do? They dominate and do the opposite of what happened versus Texas, right? We did a live stream directly after the Texas game. We dominate the first half. Texas comes back to win the game. The difference, though, was LSU dominated the entire second half outside of an 8-0 run, thanks to Mikayla Williams and, of course, the other two of the big three, Flage and Morrow. But the story of the day is Day Wilson, number 50. She was so freaking good. And I give Kim Mulkey a lot of credit. She made a huge roster decision in the second half. We'll get to that in a moment. But this was actually a game where LSU didn't need to win. Obviously, they're locked into the NCAA tournament, but clinching that double bye in the SEC tournament is pretty big, especially for a team that's not deep. Of the better teams in the SEC this year, LSU is definitely one of the thinner teams. And that's why when you see players outside of Morrow, Flage, and, of course, Mikayla step up like Day Wilson did today, it's good. It's really, really, really good. And then, of course, you guys know I am a huge, huge, huge Samaya Smith fan, knowing that she does all the dirty work for this team in the post. So we'll do a box score breakdown in just a moment, but give Kim Mulkey a lot of credit. That first half was a disaster offensively. We really didn't get a whole lot going. And honestly, defensively, in the second half, our defense led to offense, right? So we were down 38-26 at halftime, and then we end up winning this game by 7 with one of the more dominant third quarters you will ever see. And on top of that, LSU ended the third quarter on a 17-3 run. Let me repeat, a 17-3 run. So this would be my biggest takeaway, is LSU is a mood swing team, right? It is either a dominant performance by LSU or they're giving up a huge run. And obviously you want to lower the volatile swings, but you know, this is our team. This is our brand, right? We're a very emotional team. When we get hot and our players are playing with a lot of confidence, shots fall defensively. We get a lot more tenacious. We're arguably the best team in the SEC. But when the opposite is happening, we look like a bottom seven SEC team. So to have that turnaround was really, 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 really big. So, you know, for me, this was the big roster decision that Kim Mulkey made, and I have had the good fortune, okay? I don't think this is as important in the WNBA. I also don't think it's as important in high school basketball either at the women's level, but I've had the good fortune of calling a lot of women's college basketball games at the JUCO level, and I think the biggest thing that you have to do as a coach is just play the right players. Okay. I also believe that in men's as well, college basketball, you've got to play the right players. And right now, last year, Poa is not playing well. She, I believe, did not play at all in the second half. And we played arguably the best half of basketball we played all season. Poe has just struggled. I mean, it's not she's definitely one of my favorite players. All the charges she's drawn, she's a team-first player. But, you know, we played our best, and she struggled again in the first half of this game. So, honestly, that was, to me, the biggest change that LSU made. Other than defensively, they did a really good job of slowing down Amore. Now, one final thing is, you know, there's always this thing where, like, the best coaches in women's college basketball, some of them match up just not great versus others. Kentucky's coach, who was at Virginia Tech, right, who we came back against in the Final Four, probably has nightmares of Kim Mulkey. This is the second time she has led an unfreaking believable comeback to get the W. So type Y for yes, type in for no. If you can hear me loud and clear, we say hi to Jared. We say hi to Sherry Berry. And I want to start off with Dex Big Dog Hamilton. He's the one that actually makes me look really freaking good with all our opening graphics on YouTube. He and he and I actually had a debate over who should play more, Kalen Gilbert or Day Wilson. And honestly, I believe he's right. You know, number 50 for LSU was simply sensational with what she did in the second half. 4-6 from the free throw line, 2-5, but she handled the ball well, made a few really good hustle plays, and also did not turn the basketball over. She only turned it over once in 26 minutes of play. So, to me, the big turnaround was her stepping up, right? We have our big three along with Samaya Smith. They play such a heavy amount of minutes for our team, each of them playing at least 34 apiece. That's still a lot. That's still 90% of the game. But, you know, you just need whoever that fifth player is going to be. And, you know, we didn't do a live stream after the Georgia game. I knew we were going to, you know, take care of business there. That game was also a later game. I was happy because we didn't talk about this since the Georgia game. But Jersey Wolfenberger played really well in that game. And I would like to see her play more because this was, you know, to me, the biggest win until SEC tournament comes up because we get that double bye pretty much locked in. I know we have a few other tough games. We'll get to those in a second. But, you know, you just need one of these other players to really step up for you. And obviously, Mikayla Williams is the story, okay? I understand I'm severely biased because she's been on our channel before. You know, we have strong mutual friends, and I'm just a huge fan. Y'all, this is why getting those McDonald's All-Americans matter, okay? They're the needle movers. Mikayla Williams is a needle mover. There is no sport that we have in society that is more accurate with the 247 ratings than women's basketball. Like they hit on the top 10 five-star players, okay? So if you get one of them, you're probably getting a star. And Mikayla, as a true freshman, was good. And now she's reaching great. And next year she will be, you know, the same way we talk about Hannah Hidalgo and all those super-duper stars. Mikayla was fantastic today. She just is built different. And I understand, you know, I love the way we do our interviews on here. We take a lot of time researching our subjects. And Mikayla is such a team-first player. And I highly recommend, and we'll get back into the game now, but for those that watched our interview, we showed you in high school her mopping the floor before the game. I'm serious. That's just her mentality. And when you have those team-first killer mindset players at the end of games, you're just going to have that player hit those big shots for you. And my favorite thing about Mikayla, and it's very important with the way that we play, we're not the most free-flowing, best half-court offense. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. So you really just need someone to go get you a bucket. And Flage obviously has a great individual game, but man, Michaela's pull-up game is just so unfreaking believably gross. And that final sequence where she made that amazing pass to Flage, Flage gets unselfish, throws it back to her for the three. I mean, that's just how basketball is supposed to be played. And that's how you win in March Madness. It becomes a very half-court ugly game where you just need your two players to find a way to get it done. So big shout out to Michaela Williams. Obviously, I just can't say enough good things about her. Great parents, great family, just awesome. And none of this is shocking. If you had ever spent any time around her, she's just mentally different than the rest of us, to go along, obviously, with the supersonic skill set. So, but God, Michaela's bag is just deep. I mean, she got Gucci. She's got Louis Vuitton bags. I mean, she flies coach with coach bags. Or I should have said she flies first class with coach bags. I mean, her bag is deep. There's not a move she can't do. I love it. So shout out to you, Michaela Williams. I really, really, really do appreciate you stepping up for us and getting just better and better and better each and every week, okay? So let's get to as many comments as we can, and then we'll talk some about LSU baseball. I know they had a little hiccup this weekend. It's going to happen. That's the beauty of baseball. Anybody can beat anyone at any time. I do want to talk about a sport we don't talk a whole lot about. It turned into like kind of a weird Twitter thing. I don't understand why we just can't be fans of Bet Arena. I have never understood this, and we'll get to that later. We're in women's basketball mode, but I guess I'm taking crazy pills with being happy that our softball team's undefeated, but nobody gives a crap because she didn't get it done in the College World Series. Do you know how freaking hard it is to be undefeated in baseball or softball? This shit's so random. It's a random sport. All kinds of ricochets and all that stuff. And, you know, I tweet out one positive clip of LSU softball. We have an LSU softball expert in our Discord, Skipper. He sits and watches every game. Okay. I don't. All right. I just wanted to tweet a positive clip versus Nichols. I'm happy we're undefeated again. And then obviously my DMs and all that stuff is just filled. Well, it was just Nichols. You know, it was Nichols. I don't give a damn. We're under-freaking-feated. Well, you got to wait till SEC play starts. No shit. It's going to get tougher. I'm not saying beating Nichols is like freaking beating Cat Osterman and Jenny Finch. I never said that. But apparently, it is a cool thing to do. It is the coolest thing to do, to just hate on freaking Beth Tarina. Makes no sense. I guarantee you she's going to break through and win a College World Series at LSU. You don't just go undefeated. That makes any sense. Let's go to Cliff. Without structure on offense, your half-court game structures suffers in crunch time. All right. You are correct, but also not correct in this way. All right. At the end of games, a lot of teams just go iso ball, right? Because everybody's nervous. They just want to get their best player the ball. So that's why, like, at the very, very end of game, I don't mind our lack of structure on offense because we got two bona fide, can get a bucket at any time getters in Flage and Michaela. Where I would agree with you, though, is over the course of a game, our lack of offensive of flow is a problem, okay? So there you go. Sibley's in here. Let's see. Let's go to Devin. Do high schools develop true point guards anymore? I will say this, okay? once again, one thing that's really helped me with my basketball knowledge, it's a little bit different because I'm paid to be there, but you really do grow an understanding of basketball when you watch lower level basketball for a while. Because I think what happens is if you just watch NBA, you know, those guys are freaks. Every single one of them, they're freaks. If you played one-on-one against any NBA player in the history of time, you're not getting a shot off, or at least every NBA player currently. We'll just go with that. So, like, if you go watch, like, Luka Doncic, you know, you're not going to see anyone do that, like, ever. So it kind of warps our understanding of basketball. If you watch Caitlin Clark or anyone like that. But when you watch on the lower levels, I mean, there's just not many of those kinds of, like, bucket getters. Like, when I call games at the JUCO level, I think I see probably, like, two or three, like, men or women that are, like, just so much better than the competition. You're just like, well, why aren't they at Wichita State or something like that? But when you watch at a lower level, you see a few trends. And one of the bigger trends is no true point guards. It's the game has become more positionless, right? It used to be that there was an archetype of a basketball player that plays this position, okay? It's now the best point guard in the NBA is 6 foot six, right? 6'6", 6'7" SGA, right? So it's the game of basketball is just more positionless, and I guess there's just not as many point guards. But I still think of the women's game, there's quite a few good point guards. Obviously, Kentucky has a really good one, but you know, it's been a problem. Obviously, last year the big thing was, can HVL play point guard? And she obviously can. She's had a good year at TCU. It just didn't work for whatever reason. But you know, it's one of those things. Also, like, I would you know, because we're mostly a football channel, let's talk about someone like Loy Cushenberry. You don't really know how much you freaking love him until he's gone. And we've struggled with center for a good chunk of time since Cushenberry left us in 2019. And the same thing is true with Morris, right? 45, one of the best LSU women's basketball players of all time. We don't win the Natty without her. And, you know, she was a true point guard. She was our general. She was the one that got us in sets. She was our emotional leader. She had an Iverson quality to her that just gave us that attitude. And you do see when we play, and this is an honest truth, anyone that's actually sat down and watched the women's team play full games, you don't need to know anything about basketball. You don't need to know about hedging. You need to know what an elevator screen is. You don't need to know what any of that is. Type Y for yes, type N for no. With our role players in particular, do you believe we have an issue with timid players? And for me, I think we do. We play timid at times. We lack that needed confidence. And so much of playing at this level is just being confident. Let's see. Is that a Lance? Good to see you. Let's go to David. Let's talk about the Final Four. Let's talk about making a run in the NCAA tournament. If they play really strong defense for four quarters, they can win the SEC. Let's get locked in. Can we do it? Can we actually make a run this season? Well, for one, I do think the SEC is pretty good this year. Obviously, Kentucky's good, but you know, Tennessee also good. We've got an upper hand against them. And then obviously Texas and South Carolina, very freaking good this year. You know, UCLA is on a different level than us. USC is on a different level than us. Even though they lost today, Notre Dame's on a different level than us. NC State's very good, even though we're ranked ahead of them. That NC State-Notre Dame game was really freaking good, if you didn't catch it earlier today. I didn't either. I just watched the highlights. So I was like, holy crap. Like, the level of play here is really, really, really freaking good. But I think we're probably a Sweet 16 team at this point with Final Four potential. Okay. Cole says that second half had a lot to do with his opinion on this team. Let's see. Tell him, Jared, shout out to South Ark Stars, baby. Love my stars. This was also pretty cool today. So I want to shout out one of my favorite viewers. A lot of you in the Discord know him. He doesn't talk a whole lot in there, but he's definitely been one of the biggest donors. He's one of the main reasons why I'm able to do this. Show enough. Came to town, and it's cool that you get to meet viewers. And YouTube, of course, you've got viewers all around the country, all around the globe. And he drove in, and I was able to have lunch with him yesterday. So I really, really, really appreciate that. You know, I used to keep a low profile, but I posted a photo in the Discord. So if you're in the Discord, you got to see it. And I want to meet each and every one of you. Okay? I really, really, really do. I want to meet each and every one of you, unless you're a Florida fan. If you're a Florida fan, I don't want anything to do with you. But everybody else that's a viewer, I know we have hater viewers that watch or fans from other teams that watch. Actually, Jordan just texted us right now. But I want to meet each and every one of you. I do want to shout out our super chatter here, Sibley. I drove all the way to Austin, Texas, and Sibley wouldn't answer my text. I was trying to go to the game. I'm kidding. That's a bad joke. I would have drove to Austin. It kind of just slipped my mind a little bit, but I should have gone to that Texas game. I regret it. I've not been to Austin in forever. I freaking love Austin. Tigers should make the Final Four. This was a great win on the road. Is South Carolina for real? Well, you know, obviously the big news is that they just got their behinds kicked by UConn. Let's go to this. Is our biggest issue the bigs? So, yes and no. I mean, obviously if you include Morrow as a big, you know, she's kind of her own thing, right? She can play pretty much all positions on the floor. But yeah, you know, I think simply the biggest shock this season, for anyone that actually watched the team last year was, Del Rosario just not doing anything, like not even thought of as a part of the rotation. And, you know, there's a moment in the Georgia game earlier, this week where she like traveled and Kim just immediately pulled her. And, you know, rightfully so. You know, you in the SEC, I mean, you can't play around too much versus these teams. But, man, I like a lot of you, had a lot of hope for Del Rosario to be better or just play more. And, I mean, she was also a big-time recruit. So I don't think she's just bad. But you did see, like, towards the end of that game, you know, Kentucky had that one player, number 17, who's a really good player, very nasty, low post game. And Samaya Smith, who played 34 plus minutes, having a battle for every rebound, going up against, you know, girls that are her size, if not bigger, And also remember, Samaya Smith's playing all these minutes after an absolutely brutal injury last year that happened early in the year. She's fully healthy, but you know, it's crazy that Del Rosario doesn't play more. But you know, one trend you would say about Kim's teams is her rotation is very tight. It's just how it is. But Sibley says, I have the Tigers going deep. I like that. I hope. Obviously, draws is going to matter. One thing I would like for LSU is to be in the same bracket as UCLA. And I understand, you know, many have UCLA winning the whole thing this year. But I want the pressure of UCLA having to play us again, knowing that we beat them last year. So there you go. Sibley said, I no-showed. Huh? Oh man. I would have loved to have gone. I should that's on me though. Okay. Let's see. Let's go Joel Embiid out potentially for the season. Then you get the Victor Wembanyama news. That sucks. Now, coming up next, I woke up to a lot of messages. There was an LSU media poll ranking of the LSU media members. And I didn't know what was going on. No clue. I just kind of do my own thing, as many of you know. But where do I rank? So it was actually another LSU media member ranked the LSU media. And I'll show you where I actually lie on that top eight next. And I'll tell you if this even means anything at all. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
Let's go.
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. All righty, you see Jaron Addison. Sign up for the PHL Patreon because guess what? at the end of next month, end of March, you are automatically entered to win a Ja'Marr Chase autographed jersey. Now, I don't have the energy to go over there and grab it. I have never touched a jersey. It is still sealed. So when Ja'Marr signed it, he was the last person to touch his jersey. Okay? So you will automatically be entered. And once again, if you sign up for the PHL Patreon, if you do it during a live stream, you get your first month free. Link is down below. You get the extra film studies. And the actual last film study we did was on LSU men's basketball, why I am not the most gung-ho about running it back with Matt McMahon. I understand that that's a controversial topic. So Lon Phillips from LSU Odyssey did the LSU media ranking. And I was number four. Now, I will obviously be super biased here that my buddy Blake Ruffino has got to be on the top eight. He's just got to be on the top eight. But I'm super biased. I understand, you know, I'm not for everyone. Blake's not for everyone. Everybody on here is not for everyone. I think if you are for everyone, you are for no one. You got to stand for something. And there's always going to be something that you do that people just don't like. Okay. Jacob Verdon, T Bob, B, Moscona, Shea, Hanny, and Collada. Okay. Now, the funny thing is what you don't know is this is an actual thing, and this is actually going to be a tournament, and it's actually a fist fight tournament. So, me and the way that this would shape itself up, me and Matt Moscona have got to get in a fist fight to figure out who we would fight in the 1-8 matchup. That'll be Jacques and Collada. So, Scone, if you're watching this, I'm looking forward to the brawl. So, that's the reason Lon did this. I was just with Matt Moscona at the Super Bowl. But, thank you, Lon. I'm honored to be top 8. I don't know if I would even put myself in the top 8. But I will say, I do think our show is probably the most different in that, I don't know, I just think our show is just different. You know, we do football and then women's basketball. I think everyone in that top 8 does a lot of baseball. We love LSU baseball. Anyway, I don't do as much baseball as obviously all the people on that list. So shout out to everyone else there. But yeah, I was very shocked how many of you sent that to me, and there's plenty of others. You know, obviously Mike Scarborough is Scarborough, man. He's been doing this thing for a very long time. And I also want to publicly shout out Preston Guy. He had 20,000 followers on Twitter. And I just think you're dumb if you don't follow Preston Guy on Twitter if you're an LSU fan. He is the best LSU Twitter follow, and it's not close. Not close. There's plenty of other good ones. And Preston's not like my closest buddy in LSU media. We are very close, but I just think he's the best Twitter follow. But thank you, Lon. I appreciate it. And we'll move on. I've got to be completely honest about this Beth Tarina stuff, though. It drove me crazy. It drove me freaking crazy. Okay? I understand that a lot of us are frustrated with the postseason, and you don't care that we're undefeated in the beginning of the season. And we might get our ass kicked in SEC play. Obviously, the SEC is just so loaded. Oklahoma, Alabama, all these natty winners, and we don't have ours, right? Texas is good. Texas A&M is good in softball. Our team might not be that good, but we're undefeated. You know, it's hard in this sport to be undefeated. And I understand that, you know, no one cares because of all the postseason failures we've had under Beth Tarina. But y'all, it's the same thing with Rick Barnes at Tennessee, right? Some people never win it. That doesn't mean that they're not good coaches, right? It's hard to win these things, especially in the era of Oklahoma. What's her name? Patty Gasso? There's a freaking coach currently coaching who has a freaking statue of herself outside the stadium. That means she's freaking unbelievably good. It's hard to win natties when You know, the other coach that we've played that has a statue outside of the stadium was Nick Saban. We had issues beating them and winning natties over them. So I understand. We should be winning more, or we should have better NCAA tournament success. And the raging, some people shouldn't get over the raging Cajun regional loss. I'm not the foremost softball expert, but I understand sample sizes really well. And these regional tournaments are weird. I am pro Beth Tarina. I hope she never leaves LSU. Hope we never get rid of her, because I just think she's good. Okay. Very lucky. Obviously, the Coach Murphy thing happened however many years ago that was, and what would have happened with that? Would we have won more or whatever? I think Beth Tarina's done a fine job. Okay. So there you go. Then obviously Jay Johnson, I really don't care what happens pre-SEC with him, because he also has already won. Well, not also, but he's already won an Natty. I don't care that we drop a game. Now, I will say, this is how stupid baseball is. All right. And I wanted to freaking scream into the void. Okay. I understand I'm not a baseball expert or whatever. I saw Paxton Kling. Paxton Kling, one of the biggest disappointments ever at LSU. I mean, true five-star talent. Like, as athletic as some of the most athletic LSU baseball outfielders you'll see. Okay. This dude has four homers for Penn State. Four. Already. Four homers. I saw it. Dude, I wanted to freaking jump into an erupting volcano full of electric eels. Where the hell was this when you were here? What is Penn State feeding you? I mean, what the hell is that, Pax? Test them. I saw it. Like, that's the only thing I care. I was like, what the hell? Now, I understand. I don't miss them. I think Stanfield and what we have in the outfield this year is going to be good. It is what it is. Okay. Men's basketball, once again, go to Patreon. I'll say my thoughts on that. But shout out all our sports. We're still nationally ranked in most of sports, which is ridiculous. Okay? Now, I do want to talk some football, if you guys don't mind. If you want to keep the topic LSU women's basketball, because that is what we do at this juncture, feel free to fire questions in. Okay? Now, one thing I do want to mention, and it's not really LSU football related, but it kind of is. All right. So the New York Giants are in flux. And obviously, we're big Malik Nabers supporters here on PHL. I understand Shedeur Sanders is not the most popular player. I do my own draft grades on Power Hour NFL, and I'm not the biggest Shedeur in the NFL guy. I wasn't that way before the season. There was a lot that he did this year that made me feel a little bit more comfortable with him as an NFL prospect. I would like the idea of him going to New York, though. It's pretty public that, like, the Dable likes Shedeur. That could be a smokescreen. I don't know. But, you know, as much as, like, Shedeur is, like, hated or loved by whoever, he is a pocket quarterback. And the way the NFL is structured and his athletic profile, he's going to have to play even more on time than he does now. And that means a lot of targets are going to be heading Malik Nabers' way. Now, Malik Nabers led the NFL in targets last year, had a whopping 11 targets per game. But so he's so good, any quarterback would feed him. But could you imagine Malik with a quarterback that fits really well with what Malik is? Now, can Malik be a go ball X alpha receiver? Yeah. But there's literally nothing Malik Nabers is not good at. I think he's more effective as an intermediate slot kind of yak guy. It's kind of Shador's game. So I would really like that matchup. All right, I really would. Now, the next thing I wanted to get to, and this is also kind of more NFL related, is the Saints staff is finalized. So Doug Nussmeier's there. They go get Brandon Staley. I probably wouldn't have gone that route, but whatever. One thing I'll say about Kellen Moore briefly, and we'll get back to LSU stuff, is I do like he was able to get a chunk of the Eagles guys to follow him to New Orleans. Now, obviously, all those guys got raises to come to the Big Easy and have not-so-brutal winners. But I do think that helps out, especially later in the process, because obviously you had to coach a Super Bowl, and then you had to, after the Super Bowl was done, during the week of and probably after, you had to do some convincing to these staff members, hey, leave this elite organization to come to an organization that a lot of people feel is a mess. So it's making me feel better about the Saints. Now, as far as LSU football is concerned, there's not really been a whole lot, you know, going on over these past couple of weeks. We're still sifting through some of our film studies. Some of those will be posted this week. In fact, I might post one tonight on Patrick Payton. So be on the lookout for that. But a few of you have been requesting, you know, more film studies on the transfers. We've done quite a few. I think our last one of a transfer was Butler, the pass rusher out of Nebraska. But I've gotten a lot of Patrick Payton requests, and I've also gotten a lot of requests. We have not done a film study yet on Michael Van Buren, the quarterback transfer from Mississippi State. And I really like him. I do. Especially considering he's not going to play next year. And I actually think that's a good thing on multiple fronts for him. And I would even be saying this if I was Van Buren's dad or brother or acquaintance, friend. From a Van Buren standpoint, is that you were able to get a lot of play experience. Now you're going to get to hold a clipboard and learn under Garrett Nussmeier. So hopefully Garrett mentors him, and then I would be fine with Van Buren getting the keys going into the next season in 2026. So if you guys want, feel free to DM, Twitter me. And I always do this during the off season. What are some video topics you would like me to dive deep on? You know, a few years ago we had running back week where we investigated what makes a good running back at LSU. So you guys feel free. If you want to shoot me a content suggestion, I will never turn that down. I might not do a video on it, but I'm always down to listen to new ideas. Okay. Let's go to as many comments as we can. Kent says, I don't know who would win in a Moscona versus Carter fist fight. True story. I have never been on that show. I've been on every other show on 104.5. Two goat behind Coach Simone. Yeah, Simone, best half-court player arguably ever at LSU. Also, if we're going to talk about all-time greats in women's basketball, Sylvia Fowles up for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Obviously, she should be a first ballot, to say the least. Okay. A team that beat NC State beat the number one team in the country today. That game was epic. I highly recommend everyone go watch the highlights of that game. That was wild. NC State women's basketball has been a lot of fun these last couple of years. Let's go to, have we got a peer sighting in here? Yeah, we do need our post players to be more physical. Let's go to Hakeem. Moore is our dog. ADR lost confidence. Yeah, and so much of this is just confidence. It really, really, really is. Davey says Kim knows what she's doing. That's all. Any comment that begins with Kim needs to is crazy. Yeah, I don't think anyone's debating that Kim Mulkey is not one of the best to coach any level of basketball. There's a reason why Michael Jordan introduced her at the Hall of Fame. But it's okay to critique coaches. I mean, like, even the best coaches can be critiqued. Nick Saban has forgotten 10 times the amount of football that I will ever know. But why he went for two to go 5 versus LSU a few years ago is crazy. Brennan says Cohen would drop. Yeah, you're probably right about that. I've never been in a fight, honestly. So, yeah, you could probably give me a good two-piece spicy. What's up, Shane? Let's go. Shane is actually the biggest Michaela Williams fan on the planet. Literally. He's flown all around the country to go watch her play on the road. And by the way, it was a total joke about the 1-8 thing. I don't want to fight anybody. Me and Scott are friends. It's just a joke. Yeah. Look. Beth Arena might not ever win a ring here. Same thing is true with Brian Kelly. I hope that that's not the truth. But, you know, you need a lot of things to go your way for you to win a ring. You just do. You do. Like a lot of different things. Now, next thing. And I'll say this as far as like LSU football is concerned. There was a chart done by one of my favorite college football analysts, Colin Wilson, and we did a stream on this earlier this week, that said LSU actually is one of the highest returning production teams in college football when you factor in the transfer portal next season. So as far as like boom or bust national championship season or college football playoff season for LSU, it would be nice if they were to make it, obviously. Do they absolutely positively need to make it? I don't think, no matter what BK does, he's going to get let go because the buyout is just so crazy. But, you know, before last season began, we did a poll. And the question was, do you think Brian Kelly needs to go to the 12-team college football playoff at least once in the first two seasons at LSU? And most of you said yes. Okay, most of you said yes. So now we're in year two of this thing. And, you know, I would think a lot less of BK if we don't go to the playoff this year. And I say that when I know we do have some roster deficiencies and big question marks. And we'll see what the spring portal and the spring cycle overall looks like. But, you know, it's wild. It's really, 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 really wild that we have not made the playoff yet in the 12-team expansion era. Now, we'll take a few more. I do want to go on a little tangent, if you guys don't mind. It is Power Hour LSU with Carter the Power. So, look, this is with anything in life, okay? Sometimes you can expand too quickly, right? If there's too much of anything, you're going to run into trouble. That friends trip you went on a few years ago, your buddy Chad who couldn't make the trip, what if Chad made the trip and became a hassle? Not every last person needs to be invited to the party. Not every last thing needs to be included. Especially when it comes to having fun and entertainment. All right. So with the college football playoff expanding, this sport could suck. College football could suck. Now, do I think it'll ever suck? No, because I love football so much, and we love LSU football so much. It's what all of us grew up on, or most of us grew up on. Some of you are DiNardo adolescents. Some of you, like myself, your really earliest memories are Sabin. Some of you are Hallmans, or our old schoolers are some Dietzels. Whatever floats your boat. Okay. We love LSU football. So our love for the brand of LSU football is not going to change. We will always care about it. But y'all, they are ruining college football. And guess what they're about to do? You will not believe it. They're about to ruin college basketball too. Y'all, the NCAA tournament is fine. It is A-okay. It is perfectly fine the way that it is. But when ESPN floated the idea in front of young college students, tournament expansion, they booed. Y'all, expansion sucks. Almost always expansion in sports sucks. Okay? It just does. And when On3 released this seeded SEC championship weekend idea, everybody threw up on inside. And like I've said, this is going against my own self-interest, because LSU, we're not Georgia, we're not Alabama, so we're oftentimes going to be one of these fringe number 4, number 5 SEC schools, and expanded playoff helps us. So why am I against it? Well, it goes against my principles. Do you understand, like, with the college football playoff, a lot of the issues that playoff had was competing with the NFL. And the NFL is trying to take over Saturdays in the latter parts of the season. So why are we trying to be more like the NFL with expanded playoffs? What good does that do? Y'all, the brilliance of college football is our regular season. Okay? It is our regular season. And I think part of the issue is the branding. When you say regular season, it doesn't sound sexy. It sounds regular. It sounds ordinary. When the true extraordinary games that are played in college football are never played in the playoffs. Is it really extraordinary that a big college football playoff game is decided in Dallas, Texas? No. Because in Arlington, Jerry's World, there's all kinds of big sporting events that happen. Now, it's not Cowboys related, as many of you know. But they have all kinds of big sporting events. You know what I like about college football is that you can have a magical-ass season, and it'd be ruined with the loss to Northern Illinois. Or it could be ruined like Tennessee was a few years ago on a random night in Columbia, South Carolina. And I hear all the time in this era, what about middle America? What about the common man? What about flyover country? That's what college football is all about. And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to make it the neutral site NFL Stadium Invitational. And it freaking sucks. It freaking sucks. So I say that because I called out Joe Lunardi last night, the ESPN bracketologist. And he said, I'm losing sleep putting together this bracket. All right. So I will tell you, I'll keep him anonymous just for the sake of it. I'm lucky to be really good friends with a prominent college basketball analyst. And he texted me after my tweet, and I don't have any following. This guy obviously has a really, 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 really big following. I don't know enough about men's college basketball to know this. He does. And he said, the one thing that makes your point even stronger is that the bubble, apparently, this year in men's college basketball is very, very, very weak. All right. And it makes sense, right? There's a lot of last four teams in that are not good teams. you expand the NCAA tournament, those last four teams in are comfortably getting in. Arkansas is the last four team in. They're not good. Another last four team in is Wake Forest. All right, they lost to some really bad teams recently. And in an expanded NCAA men's tournament, guess what? They're comfortably in by multiple seeds. And they're not even in a last four in kind of scenario. I don't know how an expanded NCAA tournament or March Madness would look like. But it sucks. It really, really, really sucks. Now, I don't hate it as much as I hate us getting ready to expand to 14 or 16, but we'll see what happens. But in both cases, men's basketball and football in particular, expanding both of those tournaments helps LSU. So just keep that in mind, okay? Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Now, one more thing. I'm not a coach. I do not talk to any of the head coaches at LSU. I don't think I'm influential enough to do that. Now, my line of communication is always open to talk to any coach, any assistant, any staff member. Okay. My Twitter handle's right there, and I'll keep you anonymous. I just love getting as much information, informed opinions as I possibly can. I say all of this because I want LSU athletics to succeed at an extremely high level. And, you know, much has been made about NIL and, the future of college athletics and all of that. I'm still very bullish on, you know, LSU in the near future, even though, I've said my piece about bringing back Mac McMahon. I'm not totally against it. I like him personally. There's a lot of people at LSU that want him back. But, you know, there's a lot of you that don't want him back. But I'm open to him getting more funding and seeing if we can actually, piece together a better team, a better roster. But I do wonder, like, with the portal being the way that it is, one thing that it's going to be very interesting is this portal class that LSU just brought in is definitely like the first kind of mercenary portal class that we've put together. And what I mean by that is a lot of our prior teams were players that dreamed of playing for LSU and they were coming back home. Guys that weren't recruited by LSU at first and they came back. And that was a good bit of our transfer. So Greg Brooks, Jarek Bernard Converse, that list goes on and on. Okay. This was honestly, hey, we're going to go get the two best edge rushers from Florida, one place for the Gators, one place for the Seminoles that enter the portal. And, you know, they had no ties to Louisiana, LSU, or anything like that. And it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And I actually think it's going to be better because these guys are just better than some of the portal guys that we brought in. And I go back, one thing that's making me feel a lot better about LSU football going into next season is that we literally had to fend off so many good teams to get some of these guys. All right, here's a good example. I've been very lucky to build a Tennessee following on Power Hour SEC. And like a lot of the Tennessee insiders had Josh Thompson, one of our better portal pickups, an offensive lineman. So that makes it even more critical. They had him going to Tennessee. There was a lot of Nashville guys had him going to Tennessee. We win that battle. Now, this guy's a good football player. Now, hopefully it translates, knock on wood. So that should excite you. Where, you know, there's been a lot of transfers that we've brought in where there really wasn't as much like market competition for them. Let's go to Brandon. He says, completely disagree, Carter. Love expanding college football. Makes the regular season more important. Oh, man. I wish I could agree with you, but it doesn't. You know, because, look, I think Ole Miss was the best team in the SEC this year. But I don't like Ole Miss. I'm glad they didn't get in the playoff. Expanded playoff, it's a lot easier for them to get in. Alabama, an extremely flawed team. A team that was legit not good this year. With ugly losses. Obviously, we made them look like prime Saban years. They would have been in the playoff. Expanded. Okay? You want, when you drop to Kentucky or you get beat by three touchdowns, versus Oklahoma. You want those games to matter. Now, obviously, an expanded playoff would mean a lot more fringe games are going to matter. Let's go to Colin. Colin, it says, what's up with my brother Colin? Is his wreck a bigger deal than we thought? Didn't really hear about him having, I really don't know. I've actually, you know, obviously Colin's been on the channel before. I know a few of his, you know, buddies in Jacksonville. I've honestly just let that situation develop. Obviously, it's a deeply personal thing that happened for, as we've said plenty of times, you know, he's a football player going into year two at LSU. But this year should have been his actual year one, all right? And I've spoken my piece about, you know, him early enrolling allowed us to have a clear spot for Underwood. That ended up not panning out anyway. But, you know, especially at quarterback, I can understand doing that at running back and wide receiver. But I would never try to fast-track a QB. I think high school snaps – and just snaps in general matter at that position. But, you know, he wanted to reclassify. I think he could still be a really good, you know, college quarterback. But, you know, it's really hard to get accustomed to college life if you're young. You know, my freshman year, I wasn't an athlete, but it was difficult to acclimate, right? So, there you go. Cliff wants to meet me. Cliff's my cousin. I don't even think I'm his favorite media member on the top 10. I think Cliff's favorite is T-Bob. T-Bob's probably my favorite. I mean, he and I have been such good buddies for so long. Yeah. Okay, so Quinn Ewers. Let's say Quinn Ewers, for instance. He did it, but that made a lot of sense. He was given $1 million to early enroll to go to Ohio State. $1 million. All right. It's a little bit different. Plus, I also think Ewers was a little bit older for that recruiting class anyway. There you go, Scott. Yeah, I'm trying to grow on Facebook. I think because I've talked bad about Zuckerberg, I don't grow as many. I don't have as big of a Facebook following. Selvi says,
I think the SEC gets at least two teams.
in the Final Four. I don't know about that. But if you're talking about men's basketball, yeah. And look, that if I was Matt McMahon, that would be my biggest defense. Is there's no way anyone could have ever imagined SEC basketball being as good as it is now. I mean, it is freaking ridiculous how many good teams there are. Good teams, good coaches, obviously a lot of older coaches that are good. Younger coaches like Todd Golden, Dennis Gates that are very good, very analytically and forward-thinking coaches. The SEC wins, keep two seed. Yeah, I mean, seeding is so important, but, you know, I think we want our natty on a three seed. So, I might be mistaken on that, though. Two or a three. T-Bob is mid, LOL. Ha, 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 ha. That's good. Huh? Huh? That's funny. Drunk T-Bob. I like that. Let's take a few more. Shout out to Shane. Shane is a Parkway alum. So he collects Michaela Williams and Terrace Marshall cards. I've given him quite a few of my Terrace Marshall cards because I know he would like them more than me. Bama. So we have Bama on Thursday in Coleman. Okay. And we play Ole Miss. Obviously, their coach is really talented. You know, this is that, and this is honestly just kind of random. There's so many structural things I think women's basketball needs to fix. I think one of them is I don't think the championship game should be played on a Sunday afternoon when the first round of your Final Four is on Friday night. And I understand it makes it more expensive to do a Thursday night Final Four, because you know everyone's got to stay an extra day. It just adds to the expense. But the most undertold thing about, you know, championships is the biggest game of the year is brutal physically for the team that's got to play the late Friday night game. And this, I'm going to keep betting this. I always, always, always bet the team that plays the earlier game of the Final Four weekend on that Sunday. And both times it's been profitable since I've done it. Now, once again, I don't mean it's going to hit a third time. So Hal says we were indeed.
Done?
No, we're still going. Oh. Unless you wanted to. No. I would get knocked out in a fight. Speaking of which, I am dying to know if when Dustin Poirier's last fight is going to be. Love the diamond. Let's go to TJ. I don't want to, if y'all want to comment on this now, this is fine, but would you guys, want a hockey team in New Orleans? I've been asked this quite a bit. I'm kind of interested. I'm not a hockey guy, but I'm not sure if that'll work. Did Mulkey have problems with depth like this at Baylor, or is it just an LSU thing? I'll reach out to my good buddy who covered Baylor's women's basketball and ask him this. I should have asked this already. Is it just an LSU thing, and eventually we'll expect she'll have more complete teams? Yeah, you know, there's the pros and cons of Kim. One thing you hear a lot of former LSU players say about Kim, and you know, there's been a lot of pieces written on this about her, is she is not the easiest to play with. I mean, this is not like it's not for everyone, and that's okay. It's perfectly fine. All right. And if you have a coach who wants things to be done a certain way, I could see that coach leaning towards tighter lineups and players playing timid and playing a game as if they are afraid that they're going to make a mistake and get taken out. But there's positives to that as well, because it increases the standard of play. And one thing I do strongly agree with Kim is I do believe there is a tendency to over-substitute your best players. Now, I feel like we've gone too far in the scale in one direction where we keep our best players on the court at all times. But geez, I don't know too much about the depth of his teams at Baylor. You want to bring the Saints team? Bro, this avatar is insane. Like, this is I don't even want to break down what's happening there. I think I have a good idea what's that. That is an absolutely insane avatar. Let's go to TJ. There's a lot of people around New Orleans or Baton Rouge that he's met that are hockey fans. I've never been into it personally. I mean, I don't think anyone thought Nashville would be a hockey city, but the Preds win a lot. All right. So let's use an example. This is kind of a random example here. Okay. You know, we talked about Oklahoma softball earlier. You know, you're damn good if your coach has a statue. Like, do you know how hard it is to have a statue built of you while you're still currently coaching or playing at the school or the team or whatever? It's insane. That's absolutely insane. All right. So, I wish there was an LSU reporter. I might have to just do this. But I'm not a journalist. I have a journalism degree. But what you could do is you can actually, anybody can. You can FOIA an earnings report at LSU. Now, they make it hard to release their books. But FOIAing is a tenet of journalism, right? And there was an Oklahoma reporter who actually FOIA'd Oklahoma. And obviously, Oklahoma's got a great football fan base, one of the best in the country. And I will be going to the Oklahoma game next year. I'm pretty pumped up about that. I've always wanted to go to Norman. But what the report showed was Oklahoma softball out-earned basketball and men's and women's basketball combined. Now, their men's program has sucked under Porter Moser. And they had freaking Oklahoma's had Blake Griffin, Trey Young. But they're not really a basketball school. Kind of like us. You know, we've had a lot of really good individual players. Shaq, obviously Pete. Had a tweet about Naz Reid. Naz Reid's a baller, man. Cam Thomas. But, you know, we've not had a lot of elite teams. And then obviously Oklahoma women's basketball. I don't know really anything about them. I guess they're not good. But it's Oklahoma softball. Now, why are they out-earned? Men's and women's basketball. They freaking win. It's just that simple. Okay? I'm not an end results person. I like to think of process. I try to be as nuanced as I can about sports and situations and NIL, all those different things. But if the roles were reversed and our women's team wasn't elite like it is now, and our men's team was very, very, very good, guess what? I would be dedicating full post-game live streams to men's college basketball. They don't win. Okay? I understand Al Davis is attributed to this quote. It is his quote. Just win, baby. That's what you got to do. Would a hockey team in New Orleans work? Yeah. If you give them Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, those are the only two hockey players that can come to mind right now. Chris Chelios? Give Patrick Waugh out of retirement? If they're good, asses will be in the seats. That's the beauty of it. In other walks of life, you don't have to be good at your job to fill seats. I know plenty of comedians that don't have 10 minutes of material, and guess what? They sell out. Why? Because they're able to put asses in seats. There's something that they can do. It's just building fans, put asses in seats. There's so many artists out there. If they didn't have a track behind them, it would be the most ass of all ass Kim Kardashian assy-ass concerts. But they sell tickets. Asses are in seats. Okay? If a hockey team came to New Orleans and they won, people would go. If they don't win, people don't go. Now, are there exceptions to this? Yes, as there is with anything. Knicks games, when they were bad, they sell out. Well, they're the freaking Knicks. They're the freaking Knicks. Cowboys games, you know they're going to suck. Sell out. There's some brands that are too big to fail. So I'm not pro hockey in New Orleans. It's just not. You know, I just don't think hockey in New Orleans. But I didn't think hockey in Nashville. They won.
Okay.
Jared with the super chat. Dwayne says New Orleans won't be able to support three professional teams. Come on. You can if you win.
Okay.
Some teams, and it doesn't matter for some teams. Okay? It doesn't matter for some teams. But in professional sports, there's not, if you would ask me 10 years ago, Carter, do you think softball would ever out-earn men's and women's basketball combined? No. But Patty Gasso freaking wins. She freaking wins at a level that we've never seen in softball before. So guess what? Asses are in seats. People like to be winners. They just do. Okay? How many of you play pickup basketball if you lose a pickup game, you are pissed. You are so freaking pissed. Now you get over it maybe 15 or 20 minutes after the fact. But you wanted to win. There's nothing like winning anything in sports. Monopoly or whatever. You want to win. So if I can support a winning team and be a part of a winning team, and my ass could be in a seat for a winning team, I'm going to go. Yeah, so that is a problem. I mean, you know, and Cliff got into that a little bit earlier. Would an MLB team work in New Orleans? I don't know. I don't. Once again, they win, but I don't know. I wouldn't get and Louisiana obviously has rich baseball history with LSU, but I'm fine with just the Saints and the Pelicans. I really am. I really, really, really am. We do need better coaching, though. Hopefully Kellen Moore is bringing that. And what are we going to do as far as basketball coach is concerned? Who would you want to be the next NBA coach of the Pelicans? I wouldn't be able to tell you. How about Liverpool getting a W over City today? 2-0. I'm going to watch those highlights when I'm done here. I wasn't able to watch the game. Now, Chance does make a good point. Cajuns love fighting and drinking. That is hockey. That is true. That is true. Cajuns love a good brawl. I will say the Four Nations was great. I do not like hockey. But that was awesome. Awesome. Even though Mike Myers and Steve Nash and Drake won. And Brandon Ingram won. Oh, okay. I get you, Colin. I was like, the key. And it's also ironic, Colin, to add to it. You're inside a car for your photo. There you go. Oh, you're pro Borrego? You know what? Here's my thing about Borrego. Here's why I would be open to the Pelicans hiring Borrego, because I love social experiments. Okay. One of my biggest theories, and it honestly perplexes me. It is amazing how many coaches are on basketball staffs. Have you ever noticed this? Like, it's an astonishingly high amount of coaches. All right. And sometimes I wonder, especially in basketball, you know, in football, if you have a great offensive or defensive coordinator, they can make a head coach who's not really that great look very, very, very good. Or if you have a great quarterback, right? You know, the same is true if you have, like, obviously Breanna Stewart or whoever, but I am honestly shocked, like, how deep, and I'm not saying that they don't do anything, but if you ever look at any bench at on an NBA team or, you know, a major Power Four college basketball team, there's how many coaches you would say? Probably seven, at least seven. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. And I say that because let's just say Borrego is hired, and Borrego is very well respected on the NBA community for his offensive mind. Well, let's just say he's hired and the Pelicans are like very good next season with Borrego. Then that lets me know that assistants really have no sway if your head coach is bad. I'm not a Willie Green guy. So I'd be interested to see what if that is indeed the case. I also think with NBA players having guaranteed contracts, they obviously have a label of checking out. You know, I listened to an interview. They've interviewed a few Cavaliers players about, like, I mean, they're so ridiculously good. I mean, they were really good last year, the best team in the East this year, outside of the Celtics, who most would say is the best team in the East, but they're having a great season. Man, dude, these players did not like Bickerstaff, their last coach. They just didn't. And I don't think Bickerstaff's bad. Obviously, he's with the Pistons now, I believe. But it's weird, the whole basketball coach thing. So there you go. Now, big thanks yet again to our friends at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. I really appreciate them and all their support of PHL. Don't forget, sign up for the PHL Patreon. Link is down below in the description. Shout out to our top super chatter, Jared and Mr. John Sibley Butler, TJ coming in hot on the Venmo. Shout out to you, most of all, Kim freaking Mulkey. Oh, my goodness, Kim. Another great comeback at LSU. It is. Pow. Ow. LSU. Boom. Tonight. Oh, we're doing gumbo. My mom made gumbo. Let's go. Ha, ha, ha.